Malachim Aleph, Parak Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Vav. We just finished discussing the war between, or at least the first war between Ben Hadad, who's the king of Aram, and Ahav. Ahav came out victorious. He managed to defeat Ben Hadad, and it was an ace. It was pretty much an ace, even though, as we mentioned, Ahav was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He worshipped idols. But because, as we mentioned, because there was Achdus, there was unity amongst the Jewish people, that's why they were victorious at war. So the Navi comes over to him right now, and he tells him, okay, very nice, you won the first battle, but don't get too excited. Don't think that you're now, that you're all set, and you're invincible, because in 1 year from now, Ben-Hadad is going to regroup and attack you again. So let's see what he says. Pasuk Chavav. Ve'eli Tshuvas Hashana. And sure enough, the following year, exactly as the Navi promised, Ve'ifid Ben-Hadad Esaram, V'yal Afeka L'mulchama Im Yisrael. The reason why Ben-Hadad decided to regroup, as we saw last time, was because he figured, okay, the God of the Jews, he can take care, he's very powerful when it comes to mountains. Fighting in the mountain, that's where he's powerful. But if we fight them in the plain, where it's flat, over there we can take them over very easily. We'll defeat them in no time. So there's nothing to worry about. So all we gotta do is choose the right battlefield. Once we choose the right battlefield, then we'll be able to be victorious. So they go to where they go. They go to Afeka, a place called Afek, to try and defeat the Jewish people. The Radaker points out that the Afek is part of the Nachal, part of Israel that belongs to the tribe of Asher. So yes, and that's the thing. So Afek really belongs to Bnei Yehuda were living there, but it was actually in the land of Bnei Asher. Okay, so they go to Afek. They set up war. They set up their camp, and they're preparing for war. Right, they're going to give it a second go. Pasuk Chaf Zayin continues. Uvnei Yisrael espaktu v'chalkalu v'yelchu likrasam v'yachanu v'nei Yisrael negdam k'shnei chasifei izim v'aram milu es ares. So it says over here that the Jewish people went ahead and they set up camp, as it says in the pasuk, k'shnei chasifei izim.
Probably two little Kims.
Yeah. So what they did different than last time. Last time, what they did was they first set out the initial front line, and that was, if you remember, the Bnei Asarim, the sons of the ministers. It was only about 235. Not many people at all. Just 205. Because they were the Navy SEALs, right? They send out the Navy SEALs in the front line, and they knock everybody out. They knock the messengers that were coming to see if they're going out to war or not. Because remember, it wasn't really clear if they were going out to war, because they're really trying to negotiate a deal that Ben-Hadad will take everything he wants, right? But then Ahav said no, the deal is off. And they sent these Bnei Asarim, the children of the ministers, to go and attack them. And once they attacked them, that was really the beginning of the defeat. Because when they saw that their messengers, when Aram saw that their messengers came back and they were all killed, they thought, oh my gosh, these warriors, 235 warriors, the sons of the ministers, they're really powerful. So they got really scared and they started running away. Right? That's what happened. And that's why they were able to be victorious. That's why the Jews were victorious. And so now, what they did now different was they actually, last time they just sent out a small group. This time, they actually gathered everybody. They gathered every single soldier they could find, anybody that was fit to go out to war. They gathered them and they put them in one big camp. And they parked in front of the camp of Aram as just two lines. And it looked like these two goats because there were so few compared to Aram that it was it just wasn't comparable. It didn't look like a big powerful army. So that's what happened. Let's see further. Pasuk Chavches, sorry. Vayigash Yisrael Elokim v'yomer l'melech Yisrael v'yomer Koy Omar Hashem Yad Asher Omru Aram Elokei Harim Hashem V'loy Elokei Amakimu V'nasad Yiskol Omar Nogod Al Zeh B'yadecha V'yidatem Ki Ani Hashem. So the same Navi that promised Achav the first time that he's going to be victorious, he comes over with a very promising message this time as well. He tells him, don't worry about a thing, right? Why? Because Melech Aram, Ben-Hadad, said that, oh, I'm only powerful in the whatchamacallit, I'm only powerful in the mountains, right? But I'm not powerful in the plain, right? Where it's flat, I have no power over there. So just in order to deflate that argument, I'm going to go ahead and defeat them. Just to prove them wrong. Now it's interesting because the Nevi'im typically use this argument very commonly. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu as well, when he went ahead and he saw the Jews sinned, and he was trying to, the first time they sinned in the golden calf, right? So he goes over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm going to destroy them, I'm going to take them out, wipe them out, and I'm going to make a new nation, right, from you. So Moshe goes over to Hashem, and he says, no, you can't do that. You promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that you will bring them to the land of Israel. You can't just kill them all out and make a new nation out of me. So Hashem says, yeah, don't worry, but I'll make you. You're also a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So I'll make a new nation out of you, right? And I'll bring your nation, your descendants, to the land of Israel. So Moshe says, no, it's still not good enough. Why not? Because the tribe of Levi, which is my tribe, is only one tribe out of 12. If you go ahead and you only make a nation out of me, then you're not really fulfilling your promise at full. You're only bringing one tribe, and you promise that all 12 tribes, all the children of Yaakov, are going to go to the land of Israel. So at that point, Hashem was convinced, and he says, yeah, Moshe, you're right. Okay, you got it. And he did not destroy them. The second time, right before they entered the land of Israel, when they sent the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu, the same thing happened. Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. He wanted to make a new nation out of Moshe. And Moshe comes with a different argument. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's argument this time? This time his argument is as follows. If you go ahead and destroy them now, then people will say as follows. They will say, you're only powerful enough to take them out of Egypt, but you're not powerful enough to defeat the people that are living in the land of Israel and bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. So you have no choice. You have to go ahead and bring them to the land of Israel. Right? So, and that was convincing to Hashem. Hashem said, yeah, fine, you're right. And he did not kill them out. We see over here that Hashem, so to speak, is very sensitive. I don't know if the word is, if that's the right word. So it's not sensitive, it's not like he's going to get offended. But the argument that's used, that people will say, oh, Hashem is not so powerful if you do this, apparently is very effective. And Moshe Rabbeinu presented this argument in front of Hashem. Hashem said, yes, you're right. And because I don't want people to think that I'm not as powerful, and I can't bring them to the land of Israel, I can only take them out of Egypt, that's why I'm forced to bring them to the land of Israel. So this is a very similar argument over here that the Navi is using, because Melech Aram said, oh, you're not so powerful, you can only defeat us in the mountains, but you can't defeat us on the plain. So Hashem said, okay, that's why I'm going to show them I can defeat them now as well. By the way, just as a side point, why did Moshe Rabbeinu change his argument the second time? Why didn't he use the same argument that he used the first time? It was a great argument. It convinced Hashem. Why does he have to change his argument? Second time. He used the same argument. You promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he'll bring their descendants to the land of Israel. If you only bring me, that's only the tribe of Levi. It's one son of Yaakov, not 12. Yaakov has 12 sons. Why didn't he use that argument? What do you guys think? Think about it. Why wouldn't that argument work?
A miracle happens one time and then same miracle doesn't happen the second time. It only happens once. That's what it says by the Goyim. You know, the Goyim have all these different miracles, but they're just the same. It's the same miracle all of, you know, that we had from way back.
Like, so you're saying that it's a miracle?
Like, we eat boxer because of Shimon ben Yochai ate boxer, and then the name of the boxer is in English is called St. John's bread. Why is it right. called St. John's bread? Because St. John had the same miracle. He claimed to have the same miracle.
Uh-huh. I hear. What are you saying? So you're saying it's a miracle that Hashem accepted the argument of Moshe? Is that what you're saying?
It happens once, and that's it. You know, Yamsuf, it happened once. It's not, well, maybe Yeshua crossed the Yad, and, you know, it stopped the Yad. I don't know. We'll have to listen to the answer. What's the answer?
Okay, so the answer is very simple. What was the second aver, what was the second sin of the Jewish people right before they entered the land of Israel? What was the sin? What did they do wrong?
They sent out the Malachim.
Right, the spies, exactly. Spies. They sent the spies. Spies come back with a negative report. And the Jews say, oh, they start crying. Oh, no, we can't enter the land of Israel. Right, we can't do it. It's a horrible land. You have giants over there, and they have these fortified cities. There's no chance. Right, forget about it. It's a terrible land. Everybody dies over there. Right? So what happened? The Jewish people just rejected the land of Israel. Right? So if Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, oh, you promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that you're going to enter their descendants to the land of Israel, Hashem would say, what do you mean? I would love to bring them into Israel, but what could I do? They just rejected it. They don't want my land. They started crying. They started complaining. They didn't want the land of Israel. Right? So I'd love to complete my promise, but what can I do if they reject it? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to come up to a different argument and say, no, if you don't bring them into the land of Israel, people will say you're not as powerful. Right? You can only bring them out of Egypt and you can't bring them to the land of Israel. So you had to shift the argument from the Jewish people to Hashem himself.
go further back.
Yeah.
That whole place you just said was way back when.
Hmm?
Way back when, before they even started out until... Before... No, not that. The 39th year already. They were supposed to go in, and they made up all this stuff. No, it wasn't that. It was way back.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, before the 40 years, is when they sent the people in there, and they came back with a bad report.
Right.
You're coming out with an explanation of what happened over there.
Right.
But we learned that Moshe said, that's how Moshe saved the Jews. Because he said to Hashem, if you destroy them now, people are going to say you couldn't bring them.
Right.
You couldn't do what you're doing.
Right.
So that's how we saved them. Because even though they did the wrong thing. So it comes out it's about the same thing that's going on over here.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Right. So yeah, that's what I mentioned.
But what I asked you last week, we're talking about the king of Israel. What was the kings of Judah doing at this time?
That's a good question. I haven't seen any of them before to talk about
fight,
them.
If they fight over here, they're not going to go come back and fight over and leave these guys alone.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It was definitely a danger to...
It seems to me they're discussing between themselves. And the rest of them, they get their own problems.
Yeah.
But it's one country.
Yeah. Well, it was one country, but there was definitely a border between
Actually, what I mean is, why would these guys just want to defeat the kings from Israel? How about the rest of the country? He's not interested in the rest of Israel. How big is Israel altogether? Not that big.
See, the king of Israel was ruler over most of Israel, right? He was ruler. I'm saying, think about it. He had 10 tribes out of 12, right? So he definitely had plenty of much more land. It was basically like 80% of the land that he ruled over. Yes, about 20% still belonged to the king of Judah. Okay, but yeah, it's a good question. Okay, let's see further. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayachanu Eila Neichachel Shivas Yamim. So they set up camp, and then they parked there for 7 days. Each one of them is opposing each other. The seventh day, the war breaks out, and sure enough, the Jewish people defeat Aram 100,000 men, footmen, in one day. Pretty impressive,
yeah.
I might say. No? It's pretty impressive, yeah? You agree?
Jews would do that today, that'd be a riot.
Yeah, I know. Back then, they didn't have any amnesty, they didn't have the UN, right?
Think
so
about
it was.
Kill 100,000 men. Now they're laying all over the place. Who's going to bury them?
Yeah, it was pretty gory back in the day.
Where were they? In Israel or outside?
This is in a fake. So, this is part of Israel, yeah.
100,000 men are going to take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
They couldn't just leave them there. If it's in Israel, they'd have to bury them.
Right. I really know what they used to do back then, you know, when they had so many casualties. Back then it was a big issue because people didn't know if their husbands, you know, women especially didn't know if their husbands were alive or dead. They had to go through the battlefield until they would find the body of their husbands. Many times people would be lying there injured, for days, and no one would help them because they thought they were dead.
They were burned.
What?
Maybe they burned the bodies.
Maybe.
To make it easier to lay away the earth, because burying them 100,000 days, not gonna.
Yeah, it's not gonna do. No, it's not a one-day job. That's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's see further. Venusa on Isarium of Fego Elir, but people of Hoymo. Al Esrim Shiva Elef Ish and Isorim Uberadab Nas for Yova Elir Cheder Bechoder. So the remaining army of Beradad of Aram, they run away into the city. And guess what happens? Right? The people run into the city, they think they're saved. What?
The wall fell down.
The wall fell down on them.
Tumbling down, like in time of Yeshua.
Right. Back then, didn't kill anybody. Over here, it killed 27,000 men. 27,000 men. So a lot of people.
What is the wall?
The wall. The cities had walls around it.
Why
did the wall fall down? That's Humpty Dumpty.
Hey, okay, Humpty Dumpty. What was Humpty Dumpty?
You know what? In those days, when they fought war, and it was a walled city, a lot of times they tunneled under the wall, so the walls would collapse. I mean, I don't, this was one of the war tactics that they used.
Right. You're asking me if they used that tactic?
I don't know.
It's a good question. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that. But your question, I've seen that we find over here, the Radak points out that they, again, this is who are living there? Who's living there in Afeka? This is the tribe of Yehuda. So they ran into the city. That means they ran into which city? The city of Yehuda. This belongs in Yehuda. So so we see over here that the Radak says that they were actually in peace with the kingship of Yehuda. Right? He was at war with the king of Israel. But he was at peace with the king of Yehuda. That's why they ran in there. So they ran in there because they thought, okay, great. You know, now... Right, so they were at peace with them. They were at peace with the king of Yehuda. So they ran into the city of the king of Yehuda, thinking that now they would be safe because Yehuda was at peace with them. But what happened now? What happened now was Hashem had to come up with a nes where they would be killed, but without affecting the tribe of Yehuda, without affecting any Jews. Right? He didn't want any Jews to die. He didn't want the tribe of the king of Israel to go to war with king of Yehuda. That's why Hashem did such an ace where without them going to war at all the soldiers of Aram died from the collapsing of the wall. That way, there were no enemy soldiers left. And so Yehuda would not have to go, the king of Yehuda would not have to go to war with the king of Israel. That way the peace remains between the two parts of Israel, between the two kingships of Israel. Yeah? That was part of the nes. Now, what happened to Ben-Hadad was, Ben-Hadad managed to run in first. So because he managed to run in first, right, typically when you run in first, then you go to the center of the city, right? You go straight in, and then everybody else tails along behind you. because he was the first one, the walls collapsed on those that came in last, because they were closest to the wall. Right? But Ben-Hadad was furthest, the king was furthest away from the wall. And that's why he was saved. He was not affected. And his life was spared. Okay, let's do one more pasuk before Mincha. Vayomer Eila b'vadov, hine nashaman kimach b'Eis Yisrael kimachi chesedim. Nasimono sakim b'masneinu v'chavoli b'rashinu v'neitzel melech Yisrael ulai chaye es nafshecha. So they're really desperate right now. They've got no army. They've got no way to protect themselves. So the only thing they have left is what? Is what?
He's the only one that's left, basically.
Right, but he's got a few men. Right, a few close men that are still with him. So the only resort they have left is to, sorry? Exactly, beg for forgiveness. Right? And appeal to the merciful side of the King of Israel and hope that maybe he'll agree to spare them. And that's when they have to appear in a very disheveled, mercy awakening kind of appearance. And so that's why they put on sackcloth, and they take off all their fancy army gear to appear in a way that will hopefully awaken the mercy of Ahav. So we're going to stop here, and we'll see hopefully next week what happens and if they are saved or not. To be continued. There, you guys are sitting at the edge of your seats. But you'll have to come next week if you want to find out.